Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters, episode 43.
We're getting closer and closer to that episode 50.
Are we? Yeah, I guess we are.
7 more weeks to the big 5-0.
That's probably good. Sorry, I was just adjusting your audio.
Thanks.
Making sure you sound as good as possible.
Do I sound good?
Yeah. I've been told we're the best sounding podcast in iTunes.
The of everything?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who told you that? iTunes?
Yeah.
Mr. iTunes?
Mr. iTunes called. Actually, last night.
Steve, it's me, David iTunes. I just want to let you know you're the best sounding podcast on my platform. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mr. iTunes. I appreciate it. Yeah, we're here to talk about Monster Hunter. Oh, wait. Yeah. Episode 34.
No, 43. 43. We just did this.
I'm your host, SBJ.
Your co-host, Micah. Yikes.
We're going to talk. We got some Monster Hunter news, and then we're pretty much probably going to talk a lot about T-Gold.
Yeah. Or Culver's. Or Culve.
Who's calling it Culver's?
I was.
Okay. I heard Goldie. That was another nickname I've heard.
Goldie's a good name.
She's pretty great.
Yeah.
When she came out last week, it was only available for about 2 hours. So we did, I don't know, like a half hour, and then we recorded.
Yep.
So we have more information now to talk about this. So please
enjoy.
Enjoy. Please.
Please.
We're begging you.
Please.
No, we're excited. I'm excited to talk about this. I think this is the best event they've done so far.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some Monster Hunter news first. There's two bits of news I have here.
Okay.
First bit of news is on PlayStation, there is a sale right now. Monster Hunter is part of that sale. There's a PlayStation Plus sale going on right now. So if you have PlayStation Plus, which you would need to have to play with other people online, I believe Monster Hunter is like 15% off.
I 15%
literally had the prices in front of me, and then I
closed the window. 25% off. $45.
Up to 50% off. Up to 60% off. Well, that's never right. That's never actually true.
I'm sure there are some avatars and dynamic themes that are up to that are 60% off.
Yeah, it's not 25. I was right.
So then you can say
it's not. So it's $60 normally.
Yeah.
It's $47.99.
Okay, so
and then if you're PlayStation Plus.
We're in the ballpark.
It's $44.99. So you
save. Yeah, so then it's 25% off.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We're both right.
Yeah. Or if you are not playing on PlayStation, or if you are, but you want a physical copy, it is currently on sale at GameStop for $45 for both PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So you can bone up that way, too.
Bone up at GameStop, or you can bone up digitally.
Either way, Monster Hunter World is cheaper now than it is normally.
That's true.
You are, for some reason, listening to the 43rd episode of the podcast and are not playing.
Haven't purchased it yet.
Now's the time.
What are you doing? I mean, I think it's good if you're listening to the podcast and your friends haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
And they're stingy.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Buy this game.
Also, you can tell your friends that the additional gesture bundle, too, is...
Wait a second.
40% off right now.
Whoa.
Instead of being $4.99, it is $2.99. I don't know when these end. I think they end on Sunday. So, oh, here it is. It ends on 5/8. You got more than enough time. This price is only available from 4/24 to 5/8. So you got plenty of time. I don't know
just
why.
Just started.
I don't know why that's not bold or in red and in blue font on a
red and in blue font?
No, it is in blue.
Oh.
On a PlayStation Store website, which is mostly blue.
Yeah.
Which
makes it hard to read.
Blend in very well. That will get you the Play Possum gesture. I'm already in. Play Possum is already perfect. It gets you the Kowtow gesture. It gets you the Sleep gesture. And it gets you the Kneel gesture.
Yeah.
And as well as there are other gestures that are on sale. That was just the one I clicked on first.
And the Kneel gesture, or the Sleep gesture, is one of my favorites.
You go to sleep?
Yeah. Lay down and go to bed.
BTS?
Yeah.
A wrestling joke.
I got it.
Oh, okay. Good. There's other stuff on sale as well, if you care, but I just pulled up the additional gesture because it was the easiest to see here on the impossiblestore.playstation.com. It's actually not it's not terrible. The other bit of news is right before we started recording, a patch has been released on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. The 3.02 update on PlayStation 4 and the 0.0.0.2 update on Xbox One.
Okay. Why is that such a... I don't think we need to dive this deep into these numbers.
When you play for, when you pay for the exclusive rights, you get less zeros to worry about.
I see.
Yeah. I think that's what happens there.
It's like having to worry about less hassle when you get a first class flight.
I have all the patch notes here that you can tell your friends or your neighbor's pet fish if you would like to. The first one is it fixed a bug where Kluve Teroth siege quest would not progress correctly under certain conditions.
Yeah.
Specifically, if you speak to the Admiral out in the field when participating in another player's instance of a wound and a thirst or similar quest after collecting Kluve Teroth traces, but before having spoken to him separately in Astera. I'm just laughing because it's like a very specific thing you have to do for it not to work, but it's awesome that they fixed it.
What is the issue here?
Players who have encountered this bug already can return to Astera and speak with the Admiral, triggering council scene, after which Kluve Teroth siege will become available.
Kluve.
The old Kluve Teroth.
Gosh dang. That, I thought you were talking about another bug, and now I'm curious if they fixed that, and I'm kind of hoping that they didn't, but...
Specifically, here it is. If you speak to the Admiral out in the field when participating in another person's instant of a wound and a thirst, or a similar quest, it doesn't say which other ones are similar, after having collected traces of Kluve, but before having spoken to him separately in Astera.
I can't handle this.
I don't know.
This is breaking my brain.
I don't think this would ever have happened to me.
I can't think of what specifically this is pointing to. If anybody is experiencing this very specific issue and is upset about it, they fixed it.
Okay, so second issue they fixed is regards to the Great Sword Wyvern Ignition Impact.
Okay.
Fixed a bug where the Greatsword Wyvern in Ignition Impact saw its fire elemental attack value unintentionally reduced to 240. The value has been reset to 510. The armor skill, free element ammo up, is still a requirement for unlocking the fire elemental attack of this weapon.
Okay.
It's pretty easy to understand.
Yeah.
The last thing that was fixed is the first Wyvarian statistics. Oh, this might have been... Fixed a bug in data collection for the statistical summaries given to you by speaking to the first Wyvarian. Weapon usage, number of monsters slain, etc. Data will be progressively reset starting on April 26. For the duration, the first Wyvarian will not give out any statistical information, but this should not affect gameplay in any other way. Please note that the statistical data may be low in accuracy for a short time after the process is finished.
Having a heck of a time with the word statistical.
Statistical.
There you go. You got it.
Well, my reading voice is much sloppier than my...
you're just normal voice.
Yeah, but... See, I get certain words wrong when I'm talking, and then I get certain words wrong when I'm speaking. They're very different voices.
You gotta, like, find the middle ground there.
Yeah.
Someday.
Never.
Not today, though.
I feel like if I keep reading press releases, I'll just get better and better. You would think after 8 years of reading press releases on a Pokemon show, I would have mastered it by now, but I feel like I've gotten worse.
You got used to it. Maybe the Monster Hunter press releases will help, because you got so...
See, they don't, though, because, like, with the Great Wyvern Sword, it says Fire Elemental Attack, and I feel like with Pokemon, it's always Elemental Fire. Like, it's always... So that's what always throws me off, is the way they word stuff, which is different than other games' word stuff. What I'm saying is they should all just follow Pokemon's wording.
True. That's
so I can read them
a fair thing to require of
as badly every time.
Every game developer. You hear that, game devs? Pokemon are bust.
Yeah, they've clearly gotten everything right in the past.
Just for the sake of press releases, though.
Right.
Not for any other
Not
reason.
Not for anything else. So I wonder if... Remember last week when I said the I thought it was interesting Sword and Shield was number one?
Yeah.
And then I thought it was interesting that Greatsword was not numbered, like Greatsword was last. And I was like, I find that hard to believe that one of the key weapons was last.
Well, and also, I guess, like hot on the heels of
the impact,
the Wyvern Ignition. Like, that's a, I feel like a big thing. Like, that a lot of people were using the Greatsword because of that weapon.
Maybe it was because people were so outraged by a fan-made weapon, they were like, I'm never playing this again.
Never
but they waited until it was released.
Yeah, maybe. I doubt it,
I really doubt it.
I doubt that happened.
If anything, the Greatsword probably should have been number one for that month.
Yeah.
Because of the specific fan-made weapon.
Yeah. That's interesting, though. I'd be curious to see now.
But now we know it was wrong.
The data returns. Well, it just says a bug. It doesn't say how it was wrong. I have seen a huge uptick, at least in like the subreddit and on my timeline, my Twitter timeline and stuff, of people using Sword and Shield. So
I have seen an upcrease. Upcrease. The
upcrease.
I've seen the upcrease, too.
Yeah.
They've
the old upcrease.
They've hired the stats.
I don't remember who it is. One of the Admiral, maybe? Blanca?
I'm familiar with Street Fighter.
He would tell you something, and then it was either him or the other person who's there talking with you. The first, what is it? The field research, the guy, the hunky dude,
the good looking dude.
Yeah,
I don't know his name.
Somebody would say something.
Junior.
This is what I'll say.
Fiverr bro,
because I'm not gonna say it. I'm gonna get the names. I'm gonna mix them up, and somebody's gonna be upset about it. So
no,
what I'll say
everyone's
is,
always upset.
Somebody says something as part of the dialogue in that quest.
Perfect.
And another character, another NPC responds with actual text, but the audio for it is just combat grunts.
I don't see an issue.
And I've experienced it like twice now, but it's not all the time. It's just those two times that I've experienced it. So it's like, we finally have so-and-so come to the thing. And then the response is, ugh, ugh.
Sounds amazing. Why would you want this fixed?
I was hoping that they didn't.
Oh, okay. They didn't. They didn't. Got one more news update. Breaking news.
Okay.
This is off the Monster Hunter subreddit, so thank you. The Nintendo Switch version of Monster Hunter XX is 33% off.
Ooh.
So that roughly comes to about $40.
Yeah.
Don't buy it.
I mean, If you're into that.
If World is your first Monster Hunter game.
Yeah.
I think it probably will be. You would probably not have a tough time understanding the symbols and the monsters. But
right.
I feel like you would have a tough time dealing with just the combat and inconveniences
you know,
of everything.
I don't know. It's hard to say because I've played games before that are like, it's weird thinking about it this way now. Because of the position we're in, but it reminds me of if I try and put myself in the position of somebody who's new to the franchise with World, it reminds me of when they would make games that were like big AAA releases, but then they would do like a DS version. A good example is Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
They would do like Assassin's Creed and Assassin's Creed 2 and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and whatever. And then they would be like, here, you want a handheld one? Here's an Assassin's Creed for the PSP. Like, or the Vita. Like, it's not a bad Assassin's Creed, but it's not what you're used to.
But if you want
a handheld version of it, it's the best you're going
to
get.
Not saying that
Double Cross is, like, a bad game, because it's not. But for people who haven't played a previous Monster Hunter,
it is a glorified 3DS port.
It is, but it's on the Switch, and it's got two actual control sticks.
I think the
which
sticks
is a
make
huge
it better.
Upgrade.
Yeah, as somebody who put a lot of hours into Double Cross, I don't hate it by any means. I just don't think. I feel like if you're dying from. If for some reason you're completely satisfied with World and you're looking for more Monster Hunter, I just don't think it would satisfy those people.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I think everybody's different. I'm specifically a person that would be like that.
I'm specifically speaking to, like, if it's your first time playing World, obviously. Me don't fall into that because we've been playing for years.
Right. And I'm trying to put myself in that position too. And I think it's different for each person. Like, I probably, just for the sake of having a handheld Monster Hunter to get that fix, would probably be okay with it. Not as excited about it.
Because of the language barrier, not because of the.
Right. That was my issue with
your issue was the language barrier, not the I'm going to say it. It feels archaic at this point now, playing so many hours of World, that game does feel.
Well, yeah, it's so drastic. It's such a drastic difference.
It's like a good archaic, but
yeah,
it's like, oh, I remember this. This was a 3DS game 2 years ago. And
I'm curious now, though, after I haven't touched Double Cross or any other Monster Hunter game since World. And I'm curious what that feels like now.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go back and dip my toes into Double Cross a little bit.
The real question is, if it ever comes out in English, would you buy it and play it? Because I think my answer would be no.
Yeah, I probably would.
If for some reason...
No, let me correct that. I absolutely would. Because the only reason that I struggled so much with the game was because of the language barrier. Not that I struggled with it a ton, but I had a hard time immersing myself in it because of the language barrier.
Okay.
If that didn't exist, I probably would have put way more time into it. And I already did to some degree. I put, like, I don't know, almost 100 hours into it with the language barrier just from being on the road or being on trips or, like, being out of town for Christmas or, you know, whatever. Like, I had it with me and it was a Monster Hunter that I could play. If I didn't have that language barrier, I absolutely would probably put more time into it when I'm out of my house or laying in bed or whatever, not in front of my PS4.
See, the language barrier doesn't bother me. I think it's like starting over is what bothers me, because I put way more time in it than you. I streamed it and I got to G rank and
yeah,
everything, and like to start over I don't think would be as fun for me. I think the only thing the language barrier did to me was it just made me a lazy hunter in the fact of, like, I'm going to just focus on full armor sets, and then I'm going to use that next armor set to aim for the next monster.
Yeah.
But I still did the research of, like, okay, if I kill this specific monster and get its full armor, it is resistance against the stronger monster that then I'm going to go kill and then get that set, and that's going to be stronger than my last set, but also resistant to the next bigger and badder monster.
Right.
So I wasn't completely lazy. I was just lazy and being like, I'm not going to get a specific hammer just for this one monster when I'm literally using this as a stepping stone to get to end game stuff.
For sure.
If for whatever reason they came out with an English version and it read my Japanese data and somehow, like, pulled that data.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I just had the same game but in English.
You'd be more on board.
I would be 100% on board.
Okay.
But I don't want to, like, reinvest 200 hours into.
So let me do this.
You play it for me.
I feel like it's unlikely at this point. Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. There's plenty of possibilities that it could come out in English. Capcom has said previously, we have nothing to announce at this time, which I feel like usually is corporate slang for maybe, like, never say never.
Yeah.
So it's possible, but it's been a long time. So who knows?
Also, people have stopped asking for it at this point.
Right. And in addition to that, I feel like the possibility that transferring data from the Japanese version to the English version is probably really unlikely. I feel like it's more unlikely.
I just don't get why they would. They would localize it for money, yeah. But, like, if you're a person that didn't play World and you've heard all this good things about Monster Hunter, and then you run out and you're like, Monster Hunter's on Switch, and it's not the same thing your friends are playing. It doesn't have this easy use. It doesn't have this story. It doesn't have these amazing graphics. It's literally a 3DS port of a game that at this point would be 3 years old.
Right.
You'd be like, why was everyone so hype about this?
Who knows? You never know. I don't know. I mean, I
it looks good for a 3DS game, but that's...
Yeah, I mean...
I would say that stories
looked
better.
I thought it looked okay for... You know, like, with the textures and stuff. It's not glorious by any means, but, like, it's not, you know, I hate to say it, but it's a Nintendo game. Like, Nintendo games never really look super incredible. Like, some of the Switch games have looked pretty good, but even at that point, like, they're already pushing the boundaries of what the Switch can do graphically, because it's very similar to what the Wii U could do graphically.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, I thought it looked okay. If you know somebody that has a Switch and doesn't have a PS4 and
loves Monster Hunter,
wants to play Monster Hunter, if they think that they can get through the Japanese-English barrier, then give it a shot, I guess.
Yeah, it's not terrible, but it is.
But really, at this point.
Yeah, if you were in
World
it,
is $45. Go buy World.
Also, at this point, if you cared that much, you probably would have imported it by now.
Yeah.
I got a hot tip.
Yeah. What's your tip?
You got to hot tip me up.
Oh, hot tip.
Hot tip.
Hot tip.
Hot tip.
Sorry, I was interested in the hot tip. So
okay. Usually you have the hot tip.
Yeah.
I have the hot tip.
Now I'm curious what your hot tip is.
In Clove, T Gold,
yeah.
Culver's.
Culver's.
Goldie.
Yeah.
If while that mission starts, if everyone presses options/select, I don't know what they call it anymore.
Yeah.
You can skip the cutscene.
Oh, this is key. Everybody should do that all the time.
It was great the first time.
Yeah.
I would even say it was great the second time.
It's a cool cutscene.
But boy, that cutscene, when you do that hunt like 5 times in a row.
It's long.
It's long.
It's a long cutscene when you have to see it every
single
time. It only
works if everyone presses select.
Yes. Just mash it. Just mash your select button or options, whatever. Just mash the button when the cutscene starts and don't stop mashing until you're already in the game.
Very odd that they were able to make a cutscene play for 4 people at once.
Interesting, some would even say.
But when you went to the story, they couldn't do it.
Interesting.
That's still my one gripe. I'll still hold it over them forever.
That grudge forever.
Okay, let's talk about, that was my transition into
Culver's.
Culver's?
Yeah.
K-Gold.
K-Gold.
T-Gold.
Really, just grasping to whatever letter you can out of this name.
I do like Goldie, actually.
Yeah, Goldie's good.
What did you say last week? Gold Beyonce?
Beyonce Dragon. I
Beyonce
think some,
Dragon.
What somebody on the subreddit called it.
What a fight.
Yeah. It's really good.
It's very good. And
I'm a big fan of this.
My concern, which I talked about last week, it was going to be like a Zora fight.
Yeah.
Or a Liu Kang fight.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Liu Kang.
Yeah, kind of.
But
the first part.
A million times better.
Yeah. It gives you that initial throwback to, like, Siege stuff.
Yeah.
Where you are trying to, I don't know, not even necessarily stop this thing from progressing at something. You're trying to halt it, I guess, and move it to the next area. You're trying to corner it, essentially, which is an interesting idea in its own right.
Yeah.
That you go to this cavern and then try to corner this dragon so you can not really slaughter it.
You just want its horns.
Yeah.
Also, for the most part, these fights last around 18 to 20 minutes, I would say.
Yeah.
I've had some definitely way, way, way quicker. But
right.
I would say the average is probably, for at least me, I've done it a handful of times. I've done it probably more than I've done any specific fight in the game. Maybe I've done Anjanath quite a bit just because of Anjanath low rank and then Anjanath high rank just to get the full set in both. But
right.
It's so fun.
It is. It's a good hunt, and it's intuitive. The mechanics are, you know, I don't know. It's easy to pick up and, like, know what you're doing.
That's real good.
That's it.
That's the whole fight.
It's great.
So I like that you didn't spoil it last week, because we're going to spoil it now, I guess, if
yeah.
you haven't done it. But there's 4 levels. The first
yeah.
level is the siege part, I guess, which reminds me a lot of, like, old sieges, like you said, where
yeah.
you can set up cannons and shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really annoying in the Zora fight, because that's really what you did for almost 10 minutes before it, quote unquote, moved on.
Yeah.
But in this, I have done complete fights where no one has fired a cannon. And that was pretty much the first couple of days, because I guess people just didn't realize there were cannons up there. I didn't realize there was cannons up there until, like, my 4th or 5th hunt when somebody fired them. And I was like, oh, hey, look, a cannon.
Look, it's cannons. Yeah.
It's cool that you can do that whole first hunt without actually firing a cannon. You can just hit the legs or
mm-hmm.
or stun it or whatever.
The environmental traps are cool.
Yeah. And
which
then
is it, like, it's a thing anyways in the game, but I feel like it encourages using them more.
In like a good way, like a good encouragement way.
Yeah. And well, that's what encouragement is. Yeah. It's good.
Only the good encouragement here.
Not bad encouragement.
And the second area is the open arena, where you're like, hey, cool, I finally get to fight it.
Yeah. It stops burrowing through tunnels and then runs away from you into like an open zone.
Yes. And then it moves to a third arena, which has a bunch of lava.
Yep.
And a couple more environmental traps.
Yeah. This is after like a certain amount of damage, it'll move to the next area.
There's three rock pillars.
Three rock pillars.
At least I know of. And then
you can drop on it.
I think it takes damage from the lava that spews
from
the ground. Okay.
Yep.
And then the fourth part, which you didn't spoil last week, which I didn't get to originally when we recorded because we only did a half hour. So I think we got to the third area twice and then we wrapped it up.
Yeah.
Where it like breaks through the wall, but also lava is spewing. So it melts off its armor.
Well, no, so it moves to that area once you break its armor off. So when you break the armor off, then it'll go to the last zone. And it's like little gold.
But like
Jagras.
But it like kind of melts off when you break it.
Well, it melts through the cavern, because the caverns are like, it's all gold.
Yeah.
In that lower part.
But it's like hard to explain.
It breathes fire at that wall and melts the gold to make a cavern that it like scurries off into.
And it looks really cool.
But what I didn't spoil is that you break its all the gold off of it, which is like, There's two parts of this that are super satisfying to me. Breaking chunks off of the gold coverings are really satisfying. And when the gold molts, when it turns into like molten gold on its back and it's glowing and it's like liquidy because it's melting from the heat.
Yeah.
That's super cool to me.
Yes.
And it's easier then to break pieces off of it, which also feels really good.
Yeah.
There's just something about like destroying chunks of gold off of this thing that's
like a very well thought out monster.
Yeah. It's great. And then it's got like gold covering its horns too. And if you get the gold off of those horns, then not only can you carve that gold, but then it exposes these. It's hard to describe. The effect is like when you heat certain metals, those metals get like a rainbow effect to them, like an iridescent effect, where it's like kind of rainbowy. It looks kind of rainbowy, right?
Uh-huh.
Like when you see Kulv's horns at the end of the fight, they're kind of like a shimmery, like rainbowy.
Yeah.
But that's after you break the gold off of the horns.
Mm-hmm.
So from like a design perspective, as somebody who is a like concept designer, like monster design or character design nerd, that stuff is cool to me because it gives it so much life. It gives that monster so much life.
Yeah.
That all of these things in this area and how it's what it's covered in and all of this is reacting to each other, and it breathes life into this environment and into this like little tiny ecosystem mm-hmm. that this thing lives in. It's so cool.
I like the minor details of like the cats stealing the gold and then making armor out of it.
Yeah. They just put on whole puffy vests of gold.
Although they're the worst part of that fight.
Yeah, it's rough.
They suck.
It's not even like that they interfere with the fight. It's that they interfere with you trying to carve.
Carve or
almost
just pick
every
up,
single time.
Or just like pick up stuff.
Yeah, it's brutal.
I think the pickup is a little too much. If that's my one complaint, I think it's a little...
Like, there's too much to pick up? Is that
what
you're saying?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, I have a ton of material for Kulv at this point.
A lot.
It's cool, and it's cool, too, that if you beat up the Gajalakas, I think that's how they're pronounced.
Sure.
Whatever, whatever. You can get throwing knives from them, which is nice.
What do those do?
You can combine them with things and make different knives. So, like, one of the things specifically about Kulv is it's super weak to paralysis. So you can combine them with parish rooms and you can make paralysis knives and then use that to throw it at Kulv. Or if you just have a paralysis weapon, that'll make it easier.
I see.
Which I just got. Got a rarity 8 longsword, paralysis longsword.
Want to talk about that loot?
Ooh, that loot. Sure. No, I mean, are we done talking about the fight in general?
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know if I ever answered the question last week of how it remembers level.
I think it's... This is my guess.
Because I've definitely only done one fight and then went in and there was just a bunch of rewards for me.
Yeah.
Like somebody else finished it.
So I think I'm still unclear on this too. And somebody that knows can correct us if we're wrong on this. But the way that I think it works, the way that I perceived it to work is when you do the hunt, you get a certain level from that. If you initiate a hunt, if you go into the gathering hub and you initiate a siege, you start at zero.
Okay.
And anybody that joins on you is also at zero. If somebody else is leveling in a different group of four, then that will contribute, and you'll contribute to theirs. So it'll build the level, but you won't be, the level won't be synced for every team.
Oh, I see.
So the reason that I think this is because I've done hunts with people before where we got to like a level six or, you know, whatever. And I've left to go do something, and I come back and somebody else has initiated the siege, and it's at a lower level than what I was at previously when you go to select it. Because it tells you when you select which one.
No, I know that. I guess it doesn't matter too much because I've definitely like done. So for example, when we hunted last week,
yeah,
we did two. We didn't kill it. Or I did two. You did it separately than me.
Yeah.
I did two hunts.
Uh-huh.
Didn't kill it. Got to the third zone, so I didn't see the molten lava part.
Right.
And then when I got back after the podcast, I could not start another hunt. I could only hit redeem reward. And so then I redeemed the reward.
Huh.
And then I could start it, if I'm remembering correctly. But I've also done hunts where I've done... So I've probably actually murdered it and got the final end game cutscene four times.
Yeah.
And three of the four times, I got HR 8 stuff.
Rarity 8 stuff?
Which is the rarest stuff you get.
Right.
You can't get anything higher than 8.
Yep.
And then
in general,
one
in the game.
So the one time I did do it, I did it with Eric's.
Okay.
So Eric's posted a code. I joined. I arm wrestled him, by the way, and I won.
Oh, shots fired.
Take that, Eric's.
Shots fired. Eric's is who I got the info on the paralysis. I mean, I like, you know about the paralysis stuff. I didn't realize that Culv was so weak to paralysis.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
So thanks, Eric's. And also, I guess, get wrecked because Steve beat you at...
Beat you at arm wrestling.
Arm wrestling.
I'm going to shut down your YouTube channel.
Those are the rules. Those are the arm wrestling rules.
Yes.
If you are beaten by another person in arm wrestling, you have to stop doing any content creation.
Yeah, right. You heard it here first.
Yeah. That's why I stopped streaming, because I got beat in arm wrestling and I had to leave.
I'll just walk away. So I hunted Kluv with Eric.
Kluv, yeah.
Three times.
Mm-hmm.
In my three times, the group I was with, which was not Eric's group, I was just with other people that were part of the squad.
In Eric's room.
We never killed it.
Okay.
But when we finished our third time, the whole thing was done. So when I went to redeem my rewards, I got 0 8s. And I got 0 6s. I got a 4.
This is strange to me, because I've never...
4, a 5, and a 5.
I've never gotten...
Never not gotten an 8?
I've never... I've never gotten rewards for anything but killing it.
At some point, the whole quest is over, quote unquote over, for all 16 people. So last night when we did it, so we hunted last night,
mm-hmm.
very fun with some people in our Discord.
Yeah,
it was only 4 of us, not 16, which I think is fine. I thought it was fun. It took us about an hour and 20 minutes.
Which was amazing because we were on track for like a world record like at the start of that. It was impressive.
We were killing it.
Crushing that.
We got to the fourth room on the first one, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we almost killed it. And
almost.
I was like, I cannot believe on a first run, fresh start, that we've gotten to the first room and almost killed it.
Yeah, it was incredible.
So this is why I think the checkboxes matter. So we almost got it,
uh-huh.
and then we didn't. And then we did it again, and we got to the fourth room again, and we almost got it, and we didn't. I think the first time, the time ran out, and it got away. Second time, we were in the final room. We had 3 deaths. That was fine. The third time, I don't even think we got to the final room. We got to the third room. Yeah. And then it ran away.
Yep.
The fourth time, we all died within 5 minutes.
Hey, I didn't die that time.
That was the only time I died. I want to say throughout this whole thing, I died twice, and it was the fourth time because I wasn't paying attention. I was reading a text.
Yeah.
That was my bad. Don't text and hunt.
Two in a row. And I bet you
Don't text and hunt.
I bet you the issue was that you didn't eat again when you died the first time. So when you came back, you had health.
Yeah, I couldn't eat the second time.
Yeah.
I had the Farcaster.
Go eat.
Well, I can't eat the second time because I died within the first 5 minutes. You gotta wait like 15 minutes to eat.
Yeah, correct. So don't come back until your 10 minutes are up and just eat. And then you're And then go back.
I guess I could have sat
down. That's the strategy.
I should have just sat down.
I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
I could have just get good. I should. No, you're right. I should have just not come back because I knew without eating, I would have instantly died.
Yeah.
Unless I had a perk where it was like, if you die, you get stronger.
Or just, you know, yeah.
I mean, I did play it safe, but.
Get better gear. Get a.
No, better gear not eating does not help you against. At least in that position.
All right. Okay.
Maybe not.
I mean, there are things you can get to help yourself, but
look, how many times did you die?
The same amount as you did.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
I died twice, and it was in that same one.
You
that
died 3 times.
I did not die 3 times.
You did.
No, I didn't.
I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this.
Definitely did not die 3 times. I'm very cautious about my death count.
Okay. All right. I believe you.
All right. So, anyways,
I'll look up the stats later.
I want to say I was on the board every single time we finished.
Yeah, I believe you.
You're right. Shiny collector.
Yeah. You had every single one every single time.
I did not.
Yeah, no, you did.
No, I didn't. Yeah, you had every single one
every single time. You didn't die at all.
Did I tell you about flash pods? They stopped being less effective because of me.
Yeah.
I wrote into Capcom.
Yeah, so that's
a brilliant idea.
This sucks.
The fifth time.
Okay.
We did it.
All right.
And we killed them.
But at what cost, Steve?
Well, I didn't die that time. All right. So it took us 1 hour and 20 minutes. I timed the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I was tired and we still needed to play Pokemon Go that night.
Yeah.
1 hour, 20 minutes, 5 times. We killed him that 5th time, even though we should have killed him the first 2 times. We carved his horns. We cashed in. I got a rarity 8 hammer, so I was very excited.
Yeah.
And we were done.
Mm-hmm.
So now going back to the Eryx thing, I only did it twice, maybe 3 times. I never killed it. And then the whole thing was done. It said collect reward. And we couldn't do it anymore. And I think the reason is because of the checkboxes. I think once you hit all the checkboxes, it is done. So if we were to have killed the monster the first time on our first run, one of the checkboxes is carving the actual horns.
Oh, so it's got to hit all of the checkboxes.
So we would have had to keep doing it.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
We would have had to keep doing it because one of them is like collect 75 footprints, collect, you know, 100, not 100, but like collect the things it drops and the scales. So I bet once you hit all the checkboxes, then it's done.
This is so weird to me. I haven't been in a situation. It seems like an odd mechanic to me that you would.
But how else would it know it's done without knowing all the checkboxes? That's the thing.
You get reward, like you completed the quest, you get the rewards, and then you go back and you obtain your rewards.
But if some that's
the quest. So it's not doing the other various things.
But like, the other various thing gives you that big like that. What's that's so okay? So,
I think that just increases your pursuit level because
up, and then there's your level. So when we finished last night,
there's the pursuit level and there's the reward level.
Pursuit can only go up to 6.
Yes.
So my reward level with Eryx when I did it was like 6.
I think max is 17. I could be wrong on that, but I've only ever seen it hit 17.
When we did it last night, we ended at 12.
Yeah.
And we got HR stuff. High rank stuff.
Rarity 8.
Rarity 8.
There you go.
When we did it fast, we still had to hit all the checkboxes because, like, what activates that final like claim reward? Because that
no,
claim
I mean we did we didn't. I don't think it's that we didn't hit the checkboxes. It's that we didn't kill the monster. We didn't.
Well, why are there checkboxes then? Checkboxes are what makes the button light up.
Because that increases your reward level. As far as I know, yeah. That's what makes the most sense to me, that the checkboxes increase your reward level.
So here we hit all the checkboxes last night, though, and that's what lit up the button. The last thing we were missing, because I was watching the checkboxes between every hunt, because you guys kept going and leaving and getting honey, so I had nothing to do.
Yeah, we got to stock up.
So I'm over here.
If you were stocking up, you wouldn't have to worry about eating, because you wouldn't be dying.
I'm over here not dying.
Okay.
I'm over here reading checkboxes.
I see.
And the only check, there was two checkboxes on the very last hunt that we didn't do.
Okay.
One of them was carve the actual horns, and the other one was break lower right side. So that entire last hunt, I focused on that lower right side. I don't know if we ever did it. I'm assuming we did because it lost all of its gold and then it became a regular Jaggerus.
Well, you don't have to break a certain side in order for it to lose all its gold. Because it lost its gold multiple times and we didn't get that checkbox.
Yeah, we didn't get that checkbox. That's why I was focusing on that side. And I'm pretty sure I saw the other two people focusing on that side as well, because there was another hammer user. We kept hitting each other. Mostly me hitting them because I'm a reckless player. But I don't die.
No, of course not.
Never.
I've never seen you die, ever.
Ever.
It's impressive.
Except when I was texting. Don't text and hunt.
Yeah, and then also don't eat.
I couldn't eat. It was the beginning of the quest. I already ate.
Well, if you went and got your honey, you'd have been fine. Wouldn't have been an issue. Get your max potions.
I mean, I could have. I wasn't going to waste an ancient potion on Kluve.
I mean, just meld for him. Not that bad.
I'm not going to meld for Kluve. I only meld for myself.
What? I don't even understand where that was going.
So the last hunt we did, there was two checkboxes left. One was break the lower right side. One was carve the horns. And I know for sure we carved the horns.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We ended the quest and then we got rewards.
But if somebody was to end the quest right away, then that button would just light up right away. It has to be checkbox related.
I think the checkboxes are reward level.
I think the checkboxes is what forces the quest to end.
Because you have a certain point amount per thing that you have to do. And you can see it on the right-hand side of the screen anytime anyone in the gathering hub does it. For example, break the horn or break the final horns is like, I don't know, 500 points or something like that. The other things are like 90 points for breaking X side, or 90 points for moving to the next area, or 30 points for doing this or whatever. And you can see that, and it'll say somebody from another group, or another group broke X thing or did this thing or hit that checkbox, and that point amount is contributing to the reward level.
I think it does both.
So once it contributes to the reward level, you get rewards, you get more rewards based on what your reward level is when you end the hunt, when you finish the hunt.
So how do
you break the
horns?
How
are you getting
the
17? Like, we did every checkbox except two. And I know for sure we broke the horns the last time because we carved them. That would have been the 500 points.
Because other people are helping you do it. So if you as a group are just, if there's two groups in there and one group
breaks the right side.
If you are in a group and the other group in the hub is doing the hunt as well and they break the final horns before you do, then that contributes to your reward level. But if you keep going, that and you do the things that you need to do for yours, then it contributes to your reward level too, and it increases that reward level further. But if the other group starts another siege while you're doing yours, and you break the horns while they're hunting it, they'll still get the points for that.
Yeah, but we, like
everybody's
said,
contributing
we missed, we
to everybody else.
We were missing two checkboxes, and we ended at 12.
Yeah, but we just did it by ourselves, just the four of us.
But we hit all the checkboxes. So you're saying more past the checkboxes increases it?
I mean, if people are doing it multiple times, it's contributing to it.
I ended at six. So if you're saying everyone is contributing, then why am I stuck at six? Because I can't imagine Eric's and his group.
Because your group ended.
But if I didn't force ended. Like, I couldn't continue. The siege was over. It said done. You're complete.
I mean, I don't know why it force ended if you didn't actually break the horns.
I never broke the horns.
That I have no idea. I don't know what that's about.
You know
I've never
what
had
I'm talking
that.
About, though.
I've
it
never
says
had
begin
that
siege, join
yeah.
siege,
yes.
collect rewards.
Obtain rewards.
Yes.
That's how you end this. That's how you end this. That's the last step of the siege.
So that's what happened when I did Eric's. None of this is bad. It's just an open discussion. I'm not complaining. I'm just not fully understanding how the actual process works.
I don't know.
Which is fine. I think it's still cool.
I had an idea of how it worked, and I think that that idea is correct. I don't know what you were experiencing, because this is an alien experience to
but
me.
I'm telling
not
you
had
what
it.
We experienced last night.
This is the IGN Kulv Tarith Guide. You can all start at separate times. You will share the progression. Though 16 players is not required, the difficulty is scaled for 16 players, and it will be more difficult to complete the goal and gain rewards with less. SOS flares will not work. Once you have completed the Kulv Tarith Siege, you will receive additional special rewards from the Hub Blast, even before all teams have completed it. The main goal is to break Kulv Tarith's horns entirely before it leaves the area. That will end the siege, marked as a success. You cannot kill it. There's a point system related to specific goals. The more points acquired, the more luxurious the rewards. These goals are mainly breaking parts, but will only be revealed in your list once it has been discovered in the field. And then it says see the objective list. These goals are shared. For example, if a different team of four in your online session breaks the tail, you will see a notification of it on your screen and get partial points for it. You must break it yourself to get full points. If everyone in the session earned full points, everyone will get better rewards. Progress, damage points accumulated, etc. against a Kulv Tarith will roll over into the next special investigation and remain until you have defeated it by breaking off the horns completely. And then it says, or it gets away. You can defeat Kulv Tarith in one round, or it can take up to six. Once you have defeated the Kulv Tarith, your progress on the next special investigation will reset, scout flies and all. Which is true. You have to get enough investigation stuff for it in order to be able to track it again.
So mine must have ended in six.
I don't know. I don't know what your situation was. This is why it's confusing to me.
Well, I never broke the horns. That's what I'm saying. I never broke the horns, and my reward level at the end, this was with the Eric's one.
Yeah.
Was six. My reward level was six.
Okay.
I never broke the horns. I got the reward screen. You said that either you break the horns and it ends completely.
Yep.
Or it after six hunts, you're done.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then that makes sense.
That's what
so
you
that
read.
Must be yeah, that must be your sixth one then. No, yeah, I know what I read. I'm saying in relation to what you're saying, it must have meant that it took you so yes. long that that was it. It was just over.
That okay. So I was slightly right.
So
there's a
max amount of times you right. can attempt it with your group.
So I'm not insane to the point where like I know I hit the reward button and I know
no,
I didn't.
And I didn't say you weren't. I just said I don't know what that situation is because I never experienced that. I don't think I ever got to six hunts ever for it. So
well, we got to five last night.
Right.
So now my question is, How do you get to level 17? Because if I'm not mistaken, we ended at 12.
Because everybody's contributing. So if there was another group that was there with us last night that was doing things with us, we would get partial points every time they completed an objective.
But you can only complete an objective once. And what I'm reading here, if you want to get to 17, you must hit every checkbox.
Right. So
we were only missing two.
No, stop. Pause.
We did every checkbox.
Before we go any further with this, because that doesn't necessarily pertain to what we're talking about. This is, I'm saying if we had another group with us, you get partial points every time another group completes it. You don't get the full points, but you do get the full points if your group completes it. So if we break the horns, and it's how many points is it to break the horns?
Completely broken 500, chipped 150. Cold plating broken
okay.
120.
So chipped is when you knock the
plating
off
of
it, right. And so then, I don't know what the partial is for that, but I don't know, like, what difference it is in amount, but you get a partial amount every time somebody in your group, group of 16, does that. So that contributes to the overall reward level for the group that you are doing it with. So if we were at 12 and there was another group that was doing it alongside us and they were doing all the things that we were doing,
we would get partial credit.
We would get partial credit. So it would have probably been enough to bump us up to 17. That's
because
what I'm saying.
A lot of people in chat said if you're not getting to 17, it's because you're not breaking the tail. The tail is worth 120. We broke the tail. I remember it breaking the tail. Well, I didn't break the tail because I got a hammer.
No, that was your boy.
And I believe you died after that.
Oh, that's not true.
No.
False.
But I remember, okay, so I remember specifically we didn't break the right back hind leg. I think it says hind left, right hinding gold plating broken.
Yeah.
We didn't break that. It's only worth 30 points. So I can't imagine 30 points would have gotten us from 12 to 17. So the other groups do matter.
Yeah, because everybody's contributing.
In the sake of getting to 17. That's the only thing I've never done is get to 17.
Yeah, everybody is contributing to the overall reward level. That's the like primary thing for this is everybody can jump into anybody else's siege in between sieges, and everybody's contributing to the reward level in the long run.
Did you get all the level 8 rarity 8 weapons that you wanted for Christmas?
No, I didn't. I got one longsword. I got the paralysis longsword, which is good for Kulv. So that's cool. But there is still I believe a water longsword and a poison longsword.
I thought it was water, fire, electric for everyone.
No, I think this one is paralysis, not thunder, paralysis. Paralysis, water, and I think poison are the three rarity 8 longswords. But I got a bunch of rarity 7 longswords that are good. Either way, I went into this without like, you know, we've talked previously, we haven't done a ton outside of, like, in the last few weeks, we've had a hard time having time to play Monster Hunter. So I didn't have one of my goals was to get a really good weapon of every type so that I would be ready for any monster rather than just going with what I had that was the best and, you know, messing around with it or fixing, you know, setting decorations to supplement or whatever. This at least has now given me a weapon type of every type that I, or a weapon, a longsword of every elemental type that I would maybe need.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to other things, like, I don't know, there's some good stuff that I got with free element and whatever. I don't know, all kinds of good stuff. Elementless? Is it elementless or elementalist?
You're asking the wrong person.
All right. Words. Words are hard. Either way, Kulv is fun.
It's very fun. It's, like I said, it's one of the best things they've added, and I hope there are same things like this, but different scenarios and different monsters. And
it's cool.
I don't know if you like replicate this but with just a different monster and different rewards and it still just be as fun, or follows the same concept of you're getting a lot of loot off this thing because it's literally a gold monster.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it would be hard at this point to do another of these that isn't just rotating in Kulv. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's hard to go from this to like, well, we had a gold monster that you got gold weapons from. What's the step up from that? Or like
silver monster that you get silver weapons from.
Maybe. Platinum? I don't know.
Yeah.
Crystal? I don't see that happening anytime soon. I see maybe like new monsters.
Another 16-player activity, though, is what I want. Of the sort.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, or something new even. Something that's, I don't know, maybe like a race or something. Or, I don't know. Something. The contribution stuff is fun, though. It was fun hunting with everybody in our Discord. It was fun hunting with random people on Twitter. It was always a good time, too. It was fun hunting with Eric's and his group. It was a good time.
What I will say is we are going to probably do one more big Discord/Carve podcast listening hunt.
Yeah.
On Sunday, I believe.
Yeah.
So if you're around and you want to hunt with other people from the Carve, you can do that on Sunday. And I would follow our Twitter for exact times when we're going to do that.
What's the date on that?
It's a good question.
29th, maybe?
The 29th of April.
There we go.
There you go. I think that wraps up our show.
We did it. Kulv it up.
Kulv it up. All right.
We're going to go to Culver's.
Speaking of Kulv. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at Carve Podcast. And you can follow Micah on Twitter at Micah the Brave. You can follow me on Twitter at Dragging a Lake. And if you want to help out and you use iTunes or Apple Podcasts to listen to us, you can go over there and leave us a review in iTunes. That would help out the show. Otherwise, keep on hunting those monsters.
And keep on culving those monsters. I need more energy in that. Keep on culving those monsters. How's that better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Carve is hosted and produced by me, Steve Black Jr. Logo and artwork for The Carve was created by Micah, the co-host of this show. The music by Nicholas Burgess. If you enjoy The Carve, consider leaving a review in Apple Podcasts or tell a fellow hunter about us. If you'd like to support The Carve, you can do so at patreon.com/carvepodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you'll gain access to our Discord to bone up with other hunters who listen to the show. Big shout-outs to The Carve's Life Powder supporters, Rebecca C., Bastion D., Chris B., Kenley C., Armored, Jin, 8-Bit Core, Snake, Justin C., Gavin M., K., Austin B., Carly, and Brandon. Thank you all for listening.